When Destiny Calls is now the archetypes of Destiny. On today's episode, Dr. Lahab Al-Samurai and Christy Foster will be discussing the warrior archetype. Listen in to learn how the tough and courageous warrior archetype is focused on emotional energy and always readying themselves for battle while staying calm in chaos. If you want to support the podcast, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever platform you listen on. We'll see you again for another episode soon.
Welcome back to another episode of The Archetypes of Destiny. I am Dr. Lahab Al-Samurai, and with me today, my co-host, my friend, Christy Foster is here with us today. Christy, how are you doing today?
I am doing great today. I'm excited. Tomorrow is the book signing for JAMP.
That's fantastic.
The Glitch. So pretty excited. Yeah. I have quite a few people that are going to come celebrate the book.
You're going in person.
Yep.
You're going to actually be there. You're not going to be on video.
No.
You're not going to be on Zoom. You're not going to be a voice as a podcast. You're actually going to be physically there. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. It will be fantastic. We'll have some live music, some food, and a nice place to meet.
I'm very excited. Where is the venue, by the way?
It's at a place called So Cupcake. It's in Holiday in Salt Lake City, Utah. Holiday's a little suburb. And one of my friends, also a fellow businesswoman owner, that's her place. It's called So Cupcake. And they're a catering business. They also have the cupcakes there, which is what people will get to taste.
Ooh, that sounds perfect. I mean, it sounds like JAMP and the resolution of the glitch and yourself and cupcakes. I'm the only thing that's missing from that whole recipe.
That's right.
Today, we're going to talk about recipes. We're going to talk about spells. We're going to talk about enchantments. We're going to talk about curses. We're going to talk about myths. And to start us out, Christy's going to tell us about what is a spell? Kind of like a framework for a spell, if you can, to help our listeners out.
So when we look up the definition of a spell, there's a couple things. So it can be used as a verb. So people are casting a spell through language, through words. Also, it's a state of enchantment or a strong, compelling influence or attraction. So it's the study of something as well. Mm. And or the creation of something. Ooh. Either or.
Love it. So we're going to talk about the spell for creation. We're going to talk about the spell for enchantment. And we're going to talk about all the ways spells are used in the modern day. So how is magical spells used in the modern day, Christy?
How I see it used often with people, clients that I see, is I would start the self-imposed spell. So whatever they believe. So for example, if someone says, if I hear diabetes runs in my family, I'm sure I'm going to get it. That would be a self-imposed spell because the creation of them even speaking it, their body hears that and begins to create the outcome of that. And I don't think people realize the power of our words with our own bodies. And if we say something like, I'm getting old, that's also a spell. I'm aging when they're only 50. I can't do that anymore. They're creating this illusion that will have to become true for them. Versus creating something like my body is always healing. I am moving in the direction of healing versus I'll never heal. Also a spell, but I would call that a curse, a self curse, because our bodies pay attention and do what they're told. It is that simple.
Ooh.
It is that simple. And if you can start as the listeners, if you start to listen to what is the self-talk, even beginning with the body, about your body, even saying, I'm so fat, or I'm too skinny, the body believes that. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we understand what a spell is within our own self, let alone all the folklore and the mysticism around spell casting that's been around for 1,000 years. It's still very live in our day, every day, with how we speak to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked on this series, on this podcast, about manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Manifesting, creating. So a spell would be a something that is manifested, but it has to be completed, right? There is a design to the spell.
Right. Yeah.
So it's more than manifesting. You'd have to actually create the spell. So how do we lift a curse? Let's ask the first question. How do we lift a curse before we talk about the spell? How do we lift a curse from someone, Christine?
Well, I think first you need to be aware that there might be a curse.
Okay.
The simplicity of that is the first question.
Okay.
Okay. And once you're aware of it, how I would see that is, what pattern is holding the spell?
Okay.
So we were looking at what is the curse and what is the pattern that's holding it in place?
Perfect. Yes.
And what is it about you personally that believes that that's has power?
Yes.
Well, there's three parts to that is what I see.
So whether you're conscious or unconscious of it, why does it have power?
Yes.
Yeah.
Over
is it
you?
Coming from the outside? Is it coming from the inside?
Yes. And it could
that's
be
the
both.
Question. Yeah, of course.
It could be both. Yeah.
Usually is.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would we lift the curse? What would we have to do to lift a curse? Because I think in a lot of ways, as healers, this is what we do.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
To work through the ailment, the disease, the pathology, the problem, the glitch,
yes.
the trauma, we have to find, so we have to find where they are. First, you have to locate the person so you could get them out of the spell. Or in this case, we're talking about curses, get them out of the curse. What is the curse? The curse is where you're being held, is the glitch.
Yeah.
It's what you believe holds you in your place. We've used terms for it, the curse. We've used the psychic prison, we've used the maze, we've used the term glitch, we've used several terms to exemplify, amplify, codify what a curse is, what it looks like, how does it hold, right?
Right.
Because people, when they talk about curses, they say, I'm suffering from. So whether it's intergenerational curse or whether it's a first generation curse, how do we remove the spell? Well, first we have to trace the origin. Yeah. Always we run to the origin point. Right? Christy, what were the three things you said?
Being aware
of so, the
and being aware and what is the pattern that holds the curse in place?
What is the pattern? We talk about patterns all the time. Mm-hmm. What do we mean by pattern? Just to kind of refresh everybody.
When I see patterns with clients, what I'm seeing is how the pattern of language.
Hmm.
And
so how they talk about something.
Yes. And how they perceive something.
Okay. That's the interpretation.
Yes. So how they speak about it, and then also how it shows up in their body, because whatever that spell or curse is, it becomes dense in the tissue over time and will show up in the body.
Okay. Because they're holding on to it.
Yes.
Okay. So a curse is something you have to hold on to. So you can't be cursed if you don't hold on to it. Okay. So that's the first thing you have to recognize. If you're not holding on to it, it can't be a curse. You have to let it go. Okay. So that's the tricky part.
Yes.
How do we let go? How do we let go of the curse? How do we say curse go away? How do we say an intergenerational curse? I mean, we use Jungian advanced motor processing to work through the pain and the trauma and create a sense of healing and movement and forward momentum. So curing the curse means moving forward and not being anchored in the past. Because intergenerationally, what happens, Christy, when somebody's cursed?
Well, it shows up if we use sickness as an example.
Mm.
In my work through the years that I've done it, I hear it all the time. My dad has back pain, I'll have back pain. My mom has diabetes, I'll have it. Even about money, if the parents didn't make money, well, my parents were poor. And I'm poor.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps replicating. Mm-hmm. And also with, I think wounds, like emotional wounds, also replicate within family systems.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the not being aware piece that's so important.
Whether spoken or unspoken.
They still exist.
They exist.
And many of them come from the root system is trauma.
Absolutely. They all stem from trauma.
Yeah.
They all stem from trauma. The trauma is the beginning point.
And it's what binds people in the beginning, and years create more binding.
It is the beginning point, and it's the epicenter. It's what you come to revisit all the time to see.
Yeah.
You're always talking about it in one way or another. Christy was outlining how we talk about it, how it shows up in the body. So if we're not talking about it verbally, we understand it in a certain way. And now it's metastasized within the physical form. It's taken a place. And now we have to work out the glitch. We have to work out the neck pain, shoulder pain, the thigh pain, the cramps, the muscle tightening, the inability to move straight, the inability to have emotions without reacting.
And I would add to that the belief that it's even possible to change that, because it can feel like a mountain psychologically to someone to change, to even believe that that's possible. I think that's where people get stuck.
Mm.
Is they don't believe that it's possible.
Yeah, I think beauty is lost. I think beauty is lost. So the spell, the curse takes a different form. When you put a spell on somebody, how do you put a spell on somebody? How would somebody put a spell on you? Have you been in a spell before?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have to give us the details.
I'm just trying to think of a good example. So an example might be someone that I might be working with, a peer, for them to say, well, Christy, you really don't know what you think you know.
Yeah.
So a spell for me would be like an intellectual spell or a shot at my self-esteem.
Yeah.
That would be a very specific spell for them to make me feel a certain way or not be able to compete, whatever that might be. It's very intentional. If they attack my self-esteem, my value, that would be an intentional spell.
Mm. So it's the spell would be to knock you off your feet.
Right.
To keep you guessing whether you're good enough or not.
Okay, so that would be a negative spell. Yeah. And then I would also say there's a positive spell.
Yes.
in JAMP, when I first started doing JAMP with you, after the end of every session, you would say, you're going to feel better tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to go away. So that's also a positive spell that you use with language that my psyche hears it. And then there's a spark of possibility. I don't think I believed you. I will say that.
Ooh.
But there was a spark of possibility that, oh, maybe I will feel better. And that's what we're looking for with this whole idea of spellcasting as a window of light, that really I might have power to create that within myself, healing.
Yeah.
And if someone else believes it, like you believed that, that opens up my capacity to believe it too, even though my brain might not in the moment.
Yeah. So that's why we use the affirmations in JAMP. The affirmations are positive spells.
Yes.
They're affirmations to make you feel better, to make you stronger, to make you feel more intact, more whole, not in pieces, healing, not falling apart, not being sick, not being less than, being more than, actually. So this is all kind of the... Well, it's fascinating because I think this is, we talk about spells and then it's always in the realm of magic. So people think there's the magical component. The magical component is that it works. That's the magic. The magic is not in forces that are above you or below you.
No.
The magic is in that the spell works, that there'll be a better tomorrow, that there will be a better life, that there will be better times, that you will not drag through life in pain and trauma, that you can actually change, that your life can change.
And who wouldn't want that spell?
Exactly. So this is about hope.
Yeah, it is about hope.
The spell casting is about hope. It's about giving hope, because we know the curses. We know those who curse. We know them on their shows on the radio. We know them on television. We know who curses. We know their spells are not about healing. They're about pain.
And control.
And control. Fear. Yes. And fear.
Big time fear.
Fear. They use fear. And that's what we call a curse. That's not a spell, that's a curse. So they curse you into following them by using fear, pain, anger, anguish. They use those to enliven fear inside the person.
Yes, that is a virus that I see more often than I can even say.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one thing after the pandemic that we see very clearly is how the pandemic started. We see the viruses.
Yeah.
We see the emotional, the psychological, the social, the cultural viruses that have been spreading. And that people are attacking other people. And people are questioning legitimacy of other people. People are questioning the rights of other people. So when we think of spells, we think of spellcasters. Who are these spellcasters, these magicians? Let's talk about the magicians who put the big spells. Let's talk about a wonderful spell.
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a beautiful voice, and she sings, "I put a spell on you." If you ever want to hear a song that defines what a spell is, you have to listen to that song.
Yeah, I've heard that song.
And so she says, I put a spell on you. I put a spell on you. So once you say, once there's intent behind your words, whether for good or for evil, your words start to take a form of a spell.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a positive figure in the environment, if you are positive in your community, if you build, if you don't tear down, your spells are about hope, about creation, about love. If your spells are about making money, then all you do is trade yourself for the commodity of increasing numbers. That's the spell you use. Use it over and over again, use it enough times, and you start to feel a gaping hole. So that's why when people talk about doing good, doing right, volunteering, these are positive aspects of our spells.
To empower someone or disempower. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And or ourselves, to empower or disempower. It always comes back to the self, always.
Absolutely.
What are your intentions? What are you wanting? And how are you going to get it?
Yes. Because the words that we put together to cast a spell, we always have to be careful that it doesn't backfire. So if you curse somebody, you have to be careful that it doesn't boomerang around.
Well, yes, because that's the reflection back. I think the reason why you'd curse someone is because you see your own shadow in that person and you don't like them. And or you feel threatened by that reflection.
I would think Jung would approve of that definition.
Oh, well, good.
Very that, much.
That's how I would see that.
I think that's a great definition for it. Yeah, Jung would say this is the shadow.
Yeah.
You're chasing your shadow. You're chasing your shadow and you're enraged by your shadow because you have to chase it.
Which is... That's one of the most difficult things is, I think, beginning to look at those blind spots and shadows that we judge and we don't like in other people. They are in us.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is the work of being human. I think the more that we can understand the concept, if I hate someone or something they're doing, there may be a reflection back for me to look at around that.
Hmm. Well, we perceive the world from a source that is very much internal.
Absolutely is, yeah.
So what happens is our perception of the world is internalized before it's externalized. So it has to go through. So the internal defines the external. So then we define all the things in the external by using the measure of the internal.
Yes.
How do I see it? How do I think? How I really think? Stuff like that. But you're actually, what you're saying is this is my impression of the event.
Yeah.
And that's why, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking the smaller that we keep our viewpoint, if we're only willing to see this much, I really don't think a spell could be lifted because we have to be able to see all the way around us, no matter who it is, in that awareness of the patterns, the language, what energy it draws out of us to pay attention to all of that, because that's where I think the ego gets so stuck.
Yes.
Well, it's not my fault. Or if we blame someone, I think that's a self-imposed spell to keep us bound, and to also keep our vision only what's here versus everything around me.
Yeah. So a spell like that would mean that I don't think I could heal, that I have to suffer in pain. Now, that could also be considered a curse, but it's a spell that I put on myself, because I continuously say that, and it's not true. You can heal, and you can be free of pain, and you can feel better, and you can function better in the outside world.
I agree.
Spells and spellcasters. So who are the great spellcasters? Poets? Musicians, mm-hmm. artists, politicians, philosophers. Because they tell you, they use the words. How does the spell start?
You're going to feel.
You're going to
feel. You're going to look.
Uh-huh.
This is what you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
People want something,
mm-hmm.
and so they will go, now our world goes online, and sometimes we'll search out, who can answer this something for me? And that might be a psychic, it might be a healer, it might be political view, but there's an answer to every question, it would seem, because we have access to such vast information. And you see it when you click on a website, I can solve this for you. And then you go into whatever spell that they have, or
whatever spell they're casting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
people have looked for answers since the beginning of time. This isn't a new concept.
Yeah.
How they find them is different than it used to be, but they're still, you know, 1-800-PSYCHIC is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I think it's the most profitable site out of all the sites available.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you it used to
be the psychic hotline. It used to be like the psychic, there was a group of psychics. I think Dionne Warwick was with them. She was making a killing off psychic. Yeah.
That's a good example, because that's what people will be drawn to. And then I would also say the positive aspects of going to a healer, someone who does like homeopathic medicine or herbal medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Because they create this component and give it to you, and you're taking it as an exchange that you'll heal.
Yeah.
That's also a positive spell.
Yeah.
That you would search someone out for or create your own.
Well, absolutely. You're looking for healing spells. You're going to the healers.
Yes.
You're looking to heal. You're looking to get better. You're looking to feel better. You're looking to do better. You're looking to see better. You're going to go to a healer. What does the healer say to you? The first thing they do is like, oh, it's not a problem.
Yep. I think of that. And I know my first sentence is, yep, here's the pattern. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. And then homework for them, because they're the ones that still have to do the work.
Yeah.
It isn't me. I present it, but they're the ones that have to do the work. That's where the illusion of that it's in my power to heal something. It's theirs, really, willingness to do the work to create healing.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, I think you are very correct in this, because it's they have to believe in healing for healing to occur.
Yes.
If you don't believe it, it's not going to occur.
No. No, and that.
Because you'll always doubt it. You'll always say, no, but I'm not really good, or I'm not really well, or something is still bugging me, or something is still wrong. But that's the curse. The curse is not being able to let go. The curse is going back to the habitual, the pattern, the broken pattern.
Yeah.
The pattern that keeps you caught, the pattern that keeps glitching. Soon as you think that you're out, you're in the middle of it.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. That's where confusion and chaos are created.
Yes.
Is in the center of that circle.
Yes.
And hence you go back into the glitch because it's too chaotic, or you get overwhelmed, or you shut down.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's important to slow down within. If you feel like you've created a spell for yourself or someone else has, to slow down and step back from it and maybe write down what you think it is so it comes out of your head and onto a piece of paper.
Ooh.
Because our heads can, we can get lost in what that is.
Yes. So when we write it down, what we're doing is making it conscious. It's no longer something we think about or muse about. Now it's something we see. We physically, we see it with our eyes and we write it with our hand. So now we're communicating directly with whatever energy that has held us. Right. And I talk about this, about talking to your younger self, about letting your younger self know that they're safe, that they don't have to be afraid anymore, that your life is better, that you exist in a better place, that you have people who love you now, that you have people who protect you now, that you know how to take care of yourself. So all the doubts and fears and mistrust of the past, because you were helpless and powerless, now you don't have to be helpless and powerless. So you have to dialogue with that, because the spell is the curse of the trauma. The fear, the anger, the sadness, the shame, the isolation. Because what happens when you're traumatized is you're isolated. It's happening to you, but it's not happening to other people around you. Mm-hmm. It's happening in your head, but you can't really explain to them what's happening because you feel so bad and you don't know what that word for it is or how to get it out. So this is why we talk about spells. Spells can be anything from "you look amazing."
Right. Yep.
"Oh my God, I haven't seen you in ages, but you look great." You know, you start feeling good. You're like, wow, yeah. Yeah, I think I do. I remember my professor, we were having lunch. She goes, "You really look good." I was like, "I do, don't I?" It worked, right? It works. Yep. It works. I felt really, really good. And it was like, it wasn't even a question anymore. It was a reality. It was like I was acknowledging something that was real. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I think she was being flattering and nice. And but it works. That's how it works. That's why people say nice things, because it works.
Yeah.
You know, it works to make somebody who's in front of you feel good, so they'll want to talk to you, or they'll want to be around you, or they'll want to converse with you, even have a relationship with you, or have a cup of tea with you. It's good. This is how we build relationships. But these are usually spells. It's like, well, yeah, the first time we met, it was perfect. We talked about all the things that we share in common. Well, that's a spell.
Yeah.
That's called a mutual spell. That's when two people fall under their own words. That's exactly what I think, Christy.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly.
That was our first meeting.
Yeah. That's exactly what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when we talk about spells. So how to get out of the spell? I think Christy said the first thing you need to do is write it down.
Yeah, be aware of it.
Recognize it. And then find it. Where did it start? What is its origin point? Who put it there? Why is it there? Should it stay there?
And there's many ways to ask that question to to our bodies. There's ways to ask there. You can write it with your non-dominant hand and ask.
Yes.
It's a matter of coming out of your own head, though.
That's right.
Because your head wants you to think that you actually know. But your body is what knows. Your body holds the memory of where it comes from, not your head and the story in your head.
Yeah.
And so that's where I believe it's really helpful to have a guide begin to walk you through the first part of, well, Christy, how do I listen to my body? What does that mean? What does it sound like? What does it look like?
Mm.
And also the physical manifestation of the spell.
Mm.
And I see that in many ways. Like an example would be someone with severe TMJ and clenching.
Mm. Yeah.
The spell of that comes from childhood of keep your mouth shut. Mm. What you have to say doesn't matter. And so that is reinforced over time, and that's where it becomes dense and the tissue responds to the spell. So if someone's aware of that they clenched, you could start asking yourself, what words are being held back? Or why is it that I'm not able to say something? And that key might be, well, because when I was growing up, my mom always said, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
So it's like a, it is a maze for sure. And there's ways to listen to yourself and the stories and the threads that create that, so we can untangle from the trauma from the beginning part of what created that piece in you. There's always a way.
Well, I think that's a good point where we could stop at. I think we'll dive into the subject again. I think it's a fascinating subject.
Mm-hmm.
I think we don't talk much about it. But yeah, we're spellbound by a lot of things, right? You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a new car, or it's a new love, or a new place to live, or a country, or a picturesque scenery, or a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Thought. You know, so we're moved. We talk about things. When you're under a spell, there are ways to recognize you're under a spell. You say things like they're definite. This is how it is. You're under a spell.
Yeah.
This is how it's always been. You're under a spell. This is how it should be. You're under a spell. I've always been like this. You're under a spell. I will never change. You're under a spell.
This is too late. Podcast.
It's too late for me. You're under a spell.
That's a sad spell, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sad one.
Yeah.
So important to be aware of what you tell yourself.
Absolutely.
What you've been told in the past, and what are you embracing as true?
Yes. Yes. Embrace that which elevates you to a better place. That's what you always embrace. Never embrace anything that takes you down and buries you in pain. With that, we are the archetypes of destiny. I am Dr. Lahab Al-Samrai. This is Christy Foster. And we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us.